Live Free or Die, or Campaign. New Hampshire, all 9,304 square miles of it, is the center of presidential politics today. And if there's one word citizens of the Granite State are likely to hear, it's change.
I think it's easy to be cynical and just say, you know what, it can't be done, because Washington's designed to resist change.
What will occur every time he speaks out for change, every time I fight for change, the forces of status quo are going to attack every single time.
I want to make change, but I've already made change. I will continue to make change. What we need is somebody who can deliver change. And we don't need to be raising the false hopes of our country about what can be delivered. The best way to know what change I will produce is to look at the changes that I've already made.
I can say, not only can I talk change with you, I've lived it. In the private sector, for 25 years, I brought change to company after company.
We disagree on a lot of issues, but I agree, you are the candidate of change.
That was 12 times in 55 seconds, not including Sheryl Crow. Imagine what they're going through in New Hampshire. Jim Vandehei, co-founder of Politico.com, is with us this morning. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. I think Sheryl Crow deserves some sort of royalties for these speeches, I'm telling you.
It's amazing, and you hardly heard it at all before Iowa, and then it just shows the groupthink of politicians. They see that the word change works, and now everywhere you go in New Hampshire, all you see and hear is change.
Now, okay, so that might be a smart strategy for some people to jump on this change bandwagon, but does it make sense for a Hillary Clinton or a Mitt Romney to start talking about change at this point? What do you think?
You know, it's always tough to adjust your message so abruptly, and when you have so little time for it actually to resonate with voters, there's such a little time between Iowa and New Hampshire voting, I don't know that they're going to be able to completely do a makeover of their political identity and now become a change agent like Barack Obama. But they feel like that's what's happening in the electorate. They're looking at those polling results that they're seeing here in New Hampshire and also the election results in Iowa, and that more and more people are getting into the process, and that there does seem to be this mood of change. People are just sour on Washington. They're sour on the war. They're worried about the economy. They're worried about their mortgage payments, and they just want a different kind of politics. So they're all trying to adapt to that. The problem is, for Hillary Clinton, the idea that she is the embodiment of change, it's a tough sell because she's been part of the political dialogue and part of the political establishment for a couple decades now.
All right. So not only did message change over the weekend, sort of post Iowa, some alliances changed as well. John Edwards very clearly decided that Barack Obama was going to be his new BFF during that debate Saturday night. What do you think went into that decision? I mean, the camps are saying, no, there wasn't any formal meeting or anything like that. What do you think of Edwards' decision to clearly align himself with Barack Obama and distance himself from Hillary Clinton?
Well, you don't have to have a meeting to understand that it's in both of their best interests to gang up on Hillary, because what John Edwards wants to do is knock Hillary Clinton out and somehow emerge as the alternative to Barack Obama in South Carolina in southern states. And if he were ever to emerge as the alternative, I don't think that they would be BFFs anymore. They would be going at it as aggressively as you see Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama going at it right now. So every move that any campaign makes at this point, it's all, there's such a clear calculation. They're trying to figure it out. How do I stay alive? How do I remain viable? How can I still be a player on the stage come February 5th? The amazing thing is, if you look at the polls right now, Barack Obama could win in New Hampshire by double digits. And that doesn't mean the race would be over, but that would be startling, and it would be brutal for the Clinton campaign, because they would have lost the first two contests that they thought they would win, and they'd be forced to focus on February 5th and say, I'm more electable, despite the fact that there's been a couple of states that have voted and said, no, Barack Obama's more electable. He's doing better than you with independents. He's doing better than you with moderate Republicans. He's doing better than you with younger people who are new to the process. That is a powerful force in politics, and it's a tough argument to counter. It's certainly a surmountable obstacle, but it's a big obstacle.
So on the Republican side of things, who should we keep our eye on tomorrow? Does it make sense to even pay as much attention to Huckabee as we did in Iowa, or should the focus all be on McCain?
focus should be completely on McCain and Romney for this reason. I think the loser in New Hampshire between those two is probably out of the race. I don't know that they'll necessarily drop out, but it'd be very difficult for either of them to win going forward because their election strategy was always predicated on a New Hampshire victory. It's very tight right now between McCain and Romney, and it's been very nasty, particularly from the Romney side. Romney is trying so hard to win over conservatives with this laser-like focus on immigration, and immigration has been one of the most powerful motivating factors in Republican politics over the past year. So it's probably a smart calculation that if he can say, hey, I'm conservative, I'm the guy who's going to protect the borders, you know what McCain's going to do? McCain's going to, you know, legalize all these illegal immigrants. That's a good message for the conservative base. It's not clear if it's enough to overcome McCain's inherent popularity in New Hampshire. Remember, McCain won here in 2000, and many people thought he was going to roll to the nomination back then because of his big victory in New Hampshire. And there's still a reservoir of a very good will towards McCain. His favorable ratings in New Hampshire are through the roof. They've not come down significantly despite the barrage of attack ads. So I think the winner in New Hampshire then probably could position themselves. Listen, I'm the front runner because Huckabee doesn't have an organization like they do, doesn't have the money that they do or the experience that they do. So the Republican race is going to be interesting, I think, for a long time.
Well, something interesting you said the word. It's interesting you use the word nasty to describe Mitt Romney. We've got about a minute left because there was a personal tinge this weekend to the running and to the campaigning. There was that question to Hillary Clinton about, well, people don't think you're likable enough, and Romney saying, let's not get too personal about this. Do the candidates ever let their real feelings show? Should we take anything away from their campaigning that this might be really how one candidate feels about another one?
Yeah. Especially on the Republican side. It is crystal clear. If you watch the body language and if you talk to the advisors around McCain, he genuinely, I don't think, likes Romney at all. I think Huckabee feels the same way. And I've been fascinated by this. So I've been trying to do some reporting in New Hampshire to figure out why it is that everyone dislikes Romney. And I think it's just because, A, they feel like he's a fraud in that he doesn't believe all these conservative positions that he talks about now and they're different positions than he had when he was governor of Massachusetts. And I also think there's like that envy of like this tall, handsome, rich guy with his beautiful family. So there's always, I think, like that psychology in the back of your mind of like he's easy to resent him to begin with. But it's certainly personal.
Yeah.
Said whoever gets a nomination, everybody's going to rally around him and say that they always loved him.
All right, Jim Vandehei from Politico.com. Stay warm. Thanks for checking in.
Enjoy the day. Bye.
You're listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.